with you, encouragement, and try not to preach real long, but I want to have a move of the Holy Ghost, if that's okay.
Amen.
Praise God. I'm excited about what God is doing all over the world.
Amen.
And in our church, as a matter of fact, I just got a text that said, Pastor, we have real church this morning.
Amen.
That's good. That's good. And we're having real church here, by the way.
Amen.
Glory to God. Turn with me in the Word of God to 2 Timothy chapter 4. 2 Timothy chapter 4. And we'll begin reading with verse 5. 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 5. My subject for today is cross the finish line. Doesn't do you any good to start if you're not going to cross the line.
Right.
We'll talk about that in a minute. 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 5. But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions. Listen to this. This is the Apostle Paul talking to Timothy, the minister. Watch thou in all things, endure affliction, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry. And just for the sake of clarification, we all have a ministry, by the way. But Paul is talking to the preacher, Timothy, and he says, he goes on, he says, for I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. In verse 7, he said, I fought a good fight, I finished my course. So important to keep that course in mind. We're running today. You're either running toward the Lord or you're running away.
Amen.
He said, I finished my course, I kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. And not to me only, but to all them also that love his appearing. And then he goes on to say, do thy diligence to come shortly unto me, for Demas has forsaken me, having loved this present world, and is departed unto Thessalonica, Christians to Galatia, Titus unto Dalmatia. And that's really not all that important, but the important thing is that he said, Demas has forsaken me. We were in this race together.
Amen.
And now he's gone. He took another path. My subject is cross the finish line. And I'm going to talk to you for a few moments, Brother Morris, about a marathon runner. Now, other than Pastor Morris, nobody in this building has ever ran a marathon. And I don't have to be a prophet to know that. A marathon is 26.219 miles long. And when it originally started, it was a race from Marathon, Greece, and that's where it came. But it was 25 miles plus one plus 385 feet. That's how they come up with the 26.219. And but by the way, less than 1% of the population of the United States of America has ever completed a marathon. So you have a pastor that is in that 1%. He started, he completed, he crossed the finish line. I tried to get him to find a picture of him running that marathon, and just as he was crossing the line about to pass out, I wanted that picture, you know. But when you cross that line, there's a little bit of adrenaline flowing. Now, you wouldn't know it to look at me. Now, I've never ran a marathon, but I used to run all the time. I was tops in my class in field and track, and I liked to run. And then I had to learn how to run from the cops and all that stuff, you know. But you wouldn't know anything about that. But I was quite a runner. And I enjoyed it at one time, and now it's not so fun. But when a marathon runner is entering into a marathon, there is a goal in mind. And that it is set in the runner's mind, and much prior to the actual race, there has to be much preparation. Pastor Morris didn't get up on the morning of the marathon and say, I'm going to go run it today.
Right.
He would have been dead or never crossed the line. But there's preparation, there's exercise, there's sacrifice involved. And it's got to be paid by the athlete that's going to run. And for the next days and weeks and months, he's going to be in preparation of that race. But when the hour of the race comes, all of the preparation will pay off. All of the training will pay off. And the marathon runner has to know a proper diet. You can't just eat anything you want to. You got to have the proper running shoes or to kill your feet. You got to have the training. You got to have some coaching. And if you're going to be a successful runner, and the main goal of the marathon runner is to cross the finish line. I'm starting out, but my main goal is to cross. I don't want to be in that bottom half of that 1% that never completes the marathon. I want to be one that crosses the finish line. And so as the day of the actual race is coming, the marathon runner is full. His training has paid off. And he's actually now, the last few days prior to the race, he's got to slow down a little bit. And he's gotta make sure he's eating healthy and sleeping right and getting the right foods in his body and maybe the last week or a few days before the actual marathon, he will cut his running perhaps to 50% of what it was to get in shape. And at this point in the runner's mind, the marathoner's mind is doubt begins to set in. Doubt kicks in, and I don't know, I've never talked to pastor about this, you can do it at church maybe, but they begin to think, did I train enough for the race? Did I do all that I could do? Am I just going to start the race, or am I going to finish the race? Or will I just drop out and be a statistic? The Bible said in 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 7, Paul told Timothy, I have fought a good fight. I'm your example. I've finished my course. I already run my marathon, if you please. And I've kept the faith. Everything's going to be all right, Timothy, if you'll just keep the faith and keep in mind that there is a finish line. And you've got to cross that line. Because if you don't cross that line, you miss everything. Somebody clap their hands to the Lord. And so Paul said, I fought a good fight. And every one of us, every Christian is going to have to fight their own spiritual battles. There are battles your pastor cannot fight for you. You're going to have to learn to fight. It might be your own fleshly desires. It might be a trial that God has allowed you to go through. It might be a trial that someone else has put you through. But regardless of the fight, regardless, ladies and gentlemen, of the fight, if you keep your mind focused on crossing the finish line, you will come out victorious of every fight with your hands raised and with a shout in your heart. Come on, somebody shout amen. Glory to God. And God said, I finished my course. I started out and I finished it. He wanted Timothy to know it was a walk by faith and not by sight. There are things that are going to happen in your walk with God. Then some things are going to devastate you. But keep focused on the finish line. Keep your mind on Jesus. There are things that are going to shake you up from time to time. But know that God is still in control. It's not time, ladies and gentlemen, to throw in the towel. But it's time to stand up and take another step for Jesus. We're in this thing till the end. Would you shout amen? Paul said, I've kept the faith. That's so important.
Yes.
Our faith is the one thing that no man can take away from us.
Right.
Amen. It's try it on a daily basis.
My faith is tried on a daily basis, and so is yours. But faith has become embedded in our hearts, and it's going to carry us through. And every physical battle we go through, faith is going to get us through it.
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. We're going to keep the Word of God, because the Word of God, the Bible said in Psalms 119 and 105, that the Word of God is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. I want you to understand something. I'm glad I can follow the light of Jesus.
Yes.
Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. The Word of God teaches us about the gates of heaven. It's a guide for our youth. It's comfort for the aged. We don't use the word old anymore, because I tell my folks I'm not going to get old. My parents never, ever, ever said they were old. And I like that. The Word of God is food for the hungry. The Word of God is water for the thirsty. The Word of God is rest for the weary.
Amen.
The Word of God is hope for the unbeliever. There's hope for all of us today.
Amen.
The Word of God is salvation for the sinner.
Yes.
The Word of God is grace for the Christian. We're going to make it.
Yes.
We're going to finish the work.
Amen.
Jesus said on one occasion in John chapter 4 and verse 34, Jesus said unto them, "My meat is to do the will of Him that sent me and finish His work."
Amen.
Jesus, well, that word meat means food, by the way. My food is to do the will of Him that sent me and finish His work.
Yes.
It's a spiritual thing. Oh, God, help us to hunger and thirst after spiritual things.
Yes.
My meat is to do the will of Him. My desire is to eat the things of God.
Amen.
To tell somebody else about Jesus.
Amen.
My passion is to see someone else give their heart to God.
Amen.
And it's happening. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Glory to God.
Glory.
When the bicyclist, the cyclist is in his race, you know, he's competing in a race, and he's given just a small cup of water to keep him going from checkpoint to checkpoint. And I want to tell you something, ladies and gentlemen, that little cup of water is like the dose of the Holy Ghost. That's why we have Sundays. We need to come back to the altar and get a little more Holy Ghost to get us to the next checkpoint. We need to get some Holy Ghost fire on the inside that will get me through Monday. You talk to people today and they say, it's Monday. No, no, no. It's not just Monday. It's T-G-I-M. Thank God it's Monday. Get the Holy Ghost on the inside of you. Get some power there. Praise God. Paul said, Jesus said, "I want to finish the work that's set before me." How are we going to do that? We're going to tell others about Jesus.
Amen.
We're going to pray like we never prayed before.
That's right. Amen.
Right.
Somebody says, or at least we experience this in our church sometimes, "Well, it's just prayer meeting." No, it's not.
Right.
It's important.
Right.
Be at prayer meeting.
Yeah.
Be there. In fact, you know, in the early days of Pentecost, we didn't call Wednesday night service midweek service. You know what we called it? Prayer meeting.
Amen.
Some of y'all nodding your head like you remember that. Prayer meeting. We went to church and we had prayer.
Yes.
And we didn't leave till the power of God fell. Prayer brought it down. We're going to have to be involved in prayer. Praying for ourselves, praying for others, praying for your pastor on a daily basis.
Amen.
Be a servant to the house of God.
Amen.
Don't look for a reason not to come to church. Look for a reason to be in church.
Amen.
I don't have to go to church. I get to go to church.
Amen.
Praise God.
Amen.
And God has called you. God has called each one of us to a specific duty to accomplish. You will accomplish things that I could never dream of accomplishing. And then God places us and He uses us where He wants us to be. It's the same way as a chess player, if you like playing chess. The chess player, all these pieces are on the board, and he will move each piece strategically.
Right. That's right.
And that's where God has us. He's got you strategically right where He needs you. If you'll say yes to it.
Amen.
God wants to use you. God wants to use you more than you can ever imagine. Amen. So we got to take a hold of this word and let it take a hold of us. David said, "Thy word will I hide in my heart, that I might not sin against." We've got to study the word. 2 Timothy 2:15, study. Yeah. Study. Don't wait till you get to church to study. Study the word of God. Minister to yourself long before you get to church. Because the word of God will minister to us.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Glory to God. But it doesn't do us a lot of good just to read it and study it and hide it in our heart. We're not going to apply it. We got to do what it says.
Right.
Amen. We got to put it to action.
Yes.
We got to preach it, tell it to somebody else.
Right.
Amen. I don't mean you just need to stand on the street corner with a Bible under your arm. If God leads you to do that, go for it. But that's not what I'm meaning. But you can take this gospel to the streets, invite people to come. You can take it to the workplace. You can take it to your families. Pastor was talking about this morning, sometimes our families will reject us more than anyone. But take it to it. I pray for not just me, so strong. I pray for my mom and dad or for my family for 14 years before we saw any ray of hope. But we kept praying.
Yes.
And when mother and daddy both died, they both died with the Holy Ghost baptized in Jesus' name.
Thank you, Jesus.
Got a brother in Texas that's apostolic from the top of his head to the bottom of it. He's probably more apostolic than I am. He might think this black tie got on the sin. He's pretty strict. But I'm just telling you, something got a hold of him. It's real. This thing is real. And you're not going to find it in every church. Somebody said, "Well, somebody told me one time, I want to look for a church that suits me." No, don't look for a church that suits you. You look for a church that suits God.
Amen.
You look for a church where God can be glorified. Because it's sad but true, and I don't mean to belittle anybody or any church. There are just some churches that are nothing more than a social club. But thanks be unto God, we can come to Jesus' name, Pentecostal Church, and we can feel the anointing power of the Holy Ghost and enjoy Jesus. Praise God. Hallelujah. Got to stay in the race, though. And so in order to do that, Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1 said, "Wherefore, seeing we are also compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let's run with patience the race that's set before us."
Yeah.
Y'all remember my son-in-law to preach for you a month or so ago, Brother David. He doesn't have patience. He don't like patience. And his philosophy is, he tells me, I said, "Son, you just need to have some patience." He said, "If I wanted patience, I would have been a doctor." He's working on it and doing good. But we got to have patience to run this race that's set before us. We've got to finish the race. We have to cross the finish line. Somebody shout amen.
Amen.
Don't quit now. Be patient.
Amen.
That's what James, go with me if you will there to James chapter 5. James chapter 5 and verse 7. Let me get my glasses adjusted here. And James says this, "Be patient therefore, brethren, to the coming of the Lord." Be patient. Be patient. Be patient. Hallelujah. We're going to go through struggles. We're going to go through trying times. We're going to go through heartache. We're going to go through grief. But we got to keep in the race.
Right.
We got to stay in there and be patient. We got to lay aside some weights. Lay aside some things that hold us down. Got to take examination of our own heart. Sometimes we need to just lock ourselves in the bedroom. If that don't work, lock yourself in the bathroom and get the Word of God and just examine yourself and see what's going on the inside.
Right.
You'll be surprised how you come out of there feeling refreshed.
That's right.
Your prayer closet.
Yes.
But we got to be patient. We got to, and that marathon runner has to pace himself to run that, or rather to run that long distance.
Right.
He don't just start out 30 minutes later. He's spent, well, he might be finished in 30 minutes if he's not careful, but he hadn't crossed the line.
That's right.
He's got to be careful not to start too fast, and be careful not to start too slow. Ladies and gentlemen, we don't have time to be lagging behind. We got to get in this thing with all of our heart, soul, mind, body, and follow Jesus.
Amen.
You just can't start off too slowly. The Bible says this in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 24. Know you not that they which run a race run all, but one receiveth the prize. So run the race that you may obtain. And everybody that crosses that finish line in the spiritual realm is going to receive the prize.
Yes.
Glory
Thank
to
you,
God.
Hallelujah.
Paul was just saying, you got to be patient. That word patient there means persevere. You got to stay in there.
Amen.
When every bone in your body is aching, you got to stay in there.
Right.
You got to run. I imagine if you talked to Pastor Morris, there was a few times he even said a little prayer, God help me or I'm not going to make it. And if he didn't pray that, he probably thought it. But he kept running. And you know what you do? You pick up one foot and put it down and put the other one in front of it. Keep
That's
going.
Right.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
We gotta persevere. We got to run the race without allowing ourselves to be hindered.
Yes.
We got to run the race without allowing the obstructions, the obstacles that flood our minds.
Right. Amen.
We got to run the race. And we got to do it without fainting, without giving out, without just falling by the wayside. And we've got to be encouraged. Ladies and gentlemen, others have run this race before us. Be encouraged by them.
Amen.
You can make it. You have what it takes.
Amen.
We've got to persevere as they did all the way to the end. Paul said that the race, we got to run the race that's set before us. And when the marathon runner begins, he don't just go out to the course and say, he don't put his arm around his best friend and say, well, which way are you going to go? And his best friend say, well, I'm going to follow these. They got it mapped out here. I'm going to follow this. And Brother Morris says, no, I'm not going to go over that. That way's not good. I'm going to go over here. What would happen? Disqualified.
Yeah.
Because it's already mapped out. There's places you better stay in. You better not take shortcuts.
That's right.
So many people are trying to take shortcuts in their walk with God, but God has already mapped it out, and we better stay on the path. Somebody shout amen. There's a race that's set before us. And when the marathon is about to begin, the course is already laid out for the runners. It's already mapped out. It's already in place and been there for a while, or for several days anyhow. And the same thing is true for you and I, for every born-again believer. We are running, and God has already mapped it out, and the path that He has chosen for us is going to be okay. We're going to be all right. It may be a little rough, but we're going to be all right. And we may go through some rough valleys, but we're going to be all right. Got to follow the cones and follow the pilots and follow the signs and keep His direction.
Amen.
That's why we got to have prayer, and that's why we need the Word of God, and that's why we need pastors, and that's why we need to have an old-fashioned outpouring of the Holy Ghost on our lives.
Amen.
Got to follow that path.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. And I kind of like another translation of Hebrews 12 and 1, the Living Translation says, since we have such a huge crowd of men of faith watching us from the grandstands, they're already going on. Let us strip off anything that slows us down or holds us back,
yes.
Especially those sins that wrap themselves so tightly around our feet and trip us up.
Yes.
Now, what kind of marathon runner would Pastor be if he said, I don't feel like tying my shoes?
Yeah.
How far would he go? Well, the shoes would have came off. Then he'd have to stop, put them back on. You got to tie your shoes. You can't allow things to get around your feet to trip you up. And then the writer goes on to say, let us run with patience the particular race God has set before us. There's a race, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah.
And I want to share something with you before I close.
And don't get real excited about before I close. I'm a preacher. Don't forget. A few months ago, I had a dream. Very, very vivid dream. And I was running a race. And Brother Morris, for some reason in this race I was running, it seemed like I was all alone. There was people in back of me, there's people in front of me, but it just seemed like I was all alone. Uh-huh. And I had a backpack on in a race. Now, you might have to do that if you're in the Marine Corps, but not when you're running a race.
Right.
And so I'm running this race, and I became very weary. My body was aching. It was hurting. And I stopped on the track and just bent over and put my hands on my knees. And I could hear shouts from the grandstands, because to my right there was grandstands. To my left there was grandstands. And I could hear shouts coming from the grandstand. And some were saying, "Run, Pastor, run!"
Right.
But I'm bent over. I'm weary. I'm wore out. But I could hear the shouts. And some were saying, "Run, son, run!" And others were just shouting, "Run, run, run!" And I stood up at that point and I looked into the grandstands. And I saw people of the Lord. I saw people that I had pastored that are gone on.
Right.
I've done well over 100 funerals in my pastoring. And I saw people that I had preached their funeral, I had pastored them. They were in the grandstands. And I could hear him say, "Run." I saw just the sweetness as if she were standing here beside me, Ruth Forbes. Now, some of y'all will remember her because she used to go to this church a few days ago before most of you were born. But I saw her, and I was so privileged to be able to pastor her. She was the first of hundreds of funerals that I had preached in my ministerial life to this point. And I saw her and she just said, "Run." Very soft voice, "Run." But I could hear it. Mm-hmm. I saw your mom, Judy, Myra Berner, that didn't have a whole lot to say in church, but she was saying, "Run."
Right.
I saw Junior and the rest of your family that's here. I saw Opal Tyree and she was standing with her hands and she was clapping and she was saying, "Run, Brother Ronnie, run." And quite often she'd sit over here on this side of the church and if the church service wasn't going the way maybe she thought it ought to be going, she would stand and start clapping her hands and start singing, "I got on my shoes." How many of y'all remember that? "And I feel like traveling." God, and she'd march around this church. And if we were dead, dull, and boring that night, about one time around the church, we came alive. I saw. And she's saying, "Run, run. You got your Holy Ghost shoes on. Run."
Hallelujah.
I saw Mabel Isles, who was just right here on this second pew one time, just fell over dead.
Yep.
Or at least I thought she did. We laid hands on her and prayed for her. And she come back and pointed her little finger at me and said, "Don't you ever do that again." I was just getting ready to step into the most beautiful place I ever saw. And you prayed. "Please don't pray for me again." And I made a promise I would not do that. And I was at the service in Greenville, Illinois, where it happened again. And the pastor came to me and said, "We need to pray." I said, "Nope, not me. I'm not praying." He looked at me as Brother Tatum. He looked at me like I'd lost my mind. I said, "Brother Tatum, I'll tell you the story later, but I'm not praying that." She went on to meet her reward that day. She's still praising God. Bless your name, Jesus. Bless your name, Jesus.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Saw many others that I've pastored. They're all standing in the grandstands. And they're all shouting, "Run, run." I saw my father, who I prayed for so long. He didn't say much, but he had his hands together and
He'd just say, run, son. Run. Run, son. Clapping his hands. Run, son. Run. Run. And I saw my mother and sweet sister Velma Bailey standing side by side. And they both said, run. Run. Run, son. Cross the finish line. And on, as far as I could see in the grandstands, was people that I preached to and pastored, and they're all saying, run, cross the finish line. The finish line. And I could see the finish line from where I was. I could tell you about my pastor, E.J. McClintock, and his wife, saying, come on, son, run. 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 His brother, C.W. Crawley, that baptized me in the baptismal tank in back of me, but he wasn't in the grandstand, so I'm assuming he's still alive.
Mm-hmm. Still running.
Still running, yes.
Yeah.
And I could tell you about so many others, but I've come to tell someone here today, don't stop. Don't quit. Get back in the race. Get your mind focused on the finish line.
Yeah.
Don't stop now. Don't stop. The Bible says in Hebrews 12, in verse 2, we're looking up to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. It doesn't matter who hurt or offended you. Get back in the race.
Yeah. Amen.
The Bible says, looking up to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God.
That's right.
Get in the race. Get in the race. Get in the race. Look unto Jesus. Run the race. Run the race. There are many others that have gone on before us, and they're all saying today, somehow, they're saying, stay in the race.
Yes.
Not real long ago, just maybe 2-3 weeks ago, I had a similar dream, and I got a birthday coming up in December, which, you know, they're just another day. Some of y'all can relate to that. You wake up breathing on your birthday, you're starting out good. I don't worry about that a whole lot, but in this particular dream, my son-in-law was David said, "What can I get you for your birthday?" And I said, "Oh, son, I don't need anything. Just a few kind words and a prayer, that'll work." And so he said, "Well, I want to do something." But in his creativity, he went out and found a family that I pastored many years ago. Not this church, in another church. And I pastored them. And they came out of the Assembly of God church. And on a Sunday morning, came to our church. And Roy and Dot, and I don't know, they had 3 or 4 kids, 5 kids. I don't know how many they had. But they all, and I preached that day. And they wouldn't let me quit preaching. And I kept preaching and kept preaching. And they would not let me stop. I was exhausted. And at the end of that service, we're still there at 3 o'clock in the afternoon. And they said, "We want to be baptized." The whole family got baptized.
Praise God.
Now, I know most of y'all would have quit a long time before that because you're hungry and going to go eat. But they didn't. They stayed. I was hungry, to be honest about it. But they stayed and they stayed and they stayed. They wanted this apostolic doctrine.
Yeah.
They wanted this that was real.
Right.
They were tired of just something that wasn't real.
All right.
When we baptized them, they got filled with the Holy Ghost. And I remember them saying, David is presenting these to me. He said, "Do you remember these?" And Roy just came over and shook my hand real strong. And Dot, his wife, just gave me a big bear hug. And she said, "Thank you, thank you, thank you. Because I wouldn't be where I'm at today if it weren't for you." She's dead and gone. That's our passion, ladies and gentlemen.
Hallelujah.
But we got to keep our eyes on Jesus.
Right.
We got to focus on Him. We got to imitate His example. And we got to finish this thing. We got to finish it. And God is going to be there and walk with us and keep us and protect us.
He has reserved us a place in heaven if we'll keep our eye on things. If you got enough Holy Ghost to stay in this race, if you don't, get it today.
Amen.
Receive the Holy Ghost today, because I'm going to promise you something. You're going to need it tomorrow.
Right.
But you got to run. You got to stay focused on the goal. Stand with me. You got to keep the goal in sight. And Paul said it this way, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. I'm reaching like the runner, one step at a time, just reaching and running and running and running. The goal line is just up ahead.
Amen.
The finish line, it's up ahead. Not too much further to go. Paul said, the one thing I do, I keep my aim, my purpose is on Jesus.
Amen.
And I'm going to forget all those things that are behind. All those things that happened. Some of you, please understand, I love you dearly, and don't take this offensively. But some of you are allowing the things that happened in your past to deteriorate your soul. You dwell on the past. Put it in the past and leave it. And all of your past is under the blood of Jesus.
Amen.
You can make it today. Forget those things which are behind. Run on and secure your goal. Keep your eye on the goal. We don't have time to stop and bend over and touch our knees and think about the difficulties of life. We don't have time to think about the difficulties we have overcome and the troubles that we have met along the way. And those that have said things bad about me, I don't have time for that. I got to keep reaching, and keep stretching. And I'm going to strive to be more like Jesus. I'm going to press toward that mark. How about you today? Is anybody willing to do that? You're going to press toward the mark? That mark means that thing that's properly laid out there. You see, this path is already marked. And I'm going to stay on it. And when Brother Morris was sharing some pictures with me the other day about some of his hiking, and some of that trail was pretty rough. But you know what? To get to the end of the trail, you had to go through the rough part.
That's right.
There's a mark out here. And I got to stay on the path. I'm going to make it to heaven. I'm going to make it all the way home. Sister Isles used to love that. I'm going to make it all the way home someday. Hallelujah. We're going to do it. Everybody say we're going to do it.
Amen.
Ladies and gentlemen, I want to tell you something. You don't have time to play games now. What you need to do is step out right now. While this music is playing, you need to step out, make your way to this altar, and you need to get back in the race. Be filled with the Holy Ghost. Be refilled with the Holy Ghost. Be renewed in the Holy Ghost. Stay in the race. Get your mind on the race so that you can cross the finish line. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 2 said, set your mind, or affections. The word affection means mind, on things that are above, not on things that are on the earth. Set your mind on those things. Anybody here today ready to serve Jesus? Anybody here today ready to get back in the race and focus on the finish line? Anybody ready to get back to where they need to be with God? We all need more from God.
Amen.
Myself included. Hallelujah. Will you lift your hands as we give this back to Pastor today? God bless you so much. Stay in this thing. Stay in this thing. Stay in this thing. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Oh, hallelujah. 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 Hallelujah.